You're listening to the PubCase Cyber Cafe, a biweekly podcast of news related to the government response to cybersecurity threats and trends, including federal, state, and international laws and regulations, and cyber in the courtroom. Hello, welcome back to the Cyber Cafe. This is Bill Olver, editor of PubCase Cyber. Every morning, we capture the latest news and opinion related to the government response to cybersecurity threats, including federal, state, and international laws and regulations, government oversight and enforcement activity, and cyber issues in the courtroom. Every 2 weeks on this podcast, we recap the top headlines from our daily news. This week, the massive spending bill funding agencies through the rest of this year included money to help states strengthen cybersecurity for their voting systems. The bill also included $380 million in election technology grants to help states secure digital systems involved in elections. The bill also included funds for DHS's Continuous Diagnostics and Mitigation Program, which monitors civilian agency networks for attacks. Members of the Senate Intelligence Committee have reintroduced the Secure Elections Act. This bill is intended to facilitate communication between the federal government and the state and local officials that run elections, expedite security clearances for those officials, and provide additional financial support for election infrastructure. The committee also has published its recommendations for improving election cybersecurity. The committee urged Congress to pass bills to provide funding for states to help them hire technology staff, update software, contract cybersecurity vendors, and conduct security audits. DHS also is backing a new Information Sharing and Analysis Center for Election Infrastructure. The center will help state and local jurisdictions share information about cyber threats and vulnerabilities specific to election systems and remote security monitoring capabilities. The ISAC is being run by the nonprofit Center for Internet Security, which already runs an unofficial program modeled after DHS's Einstein program, which states have been using to coordinate on election security. Representatives Ted Lieu and Ted Yoho have introduced the Hack Your State Department bill, which would provide cash prizes to independent security researchers who find hackable vulnerabilities in the department's websites. Lieu also introduced a similar bill for the Department of Homeland Security. And the Senate's version of the DHS reauthorization bill currently includes language requiring the department to run a bug bounty program. Last week, the House approved the DHS Cyber Incident Response Teams Act, which would, as the name implies, codify the agency's cyber hunt and incident response teams. Those teams provide support to organizations running critical infrastructure. A new report from the Department of the Interior Inspector General found the department is unprepared for cyber threats. Auditors found Interior is vulnerable to the theft of sensitive data, unprepared to detect and deal with cyber threats, and failing to keep users on its computer network from visiting and downloading materials from illicit websites. As part of its audit, OIG simulated cyber attacks on the agency's networks. While incident response tools detected many of the tests, hundreds of thousands of alerts went unnoticed because the CIO's office did not review some enterprise security tools for as long as 2 weeks. The Department of Education has issued a request for information seeking industry input on how to organize its cybersecurity workforce, identify talent gaps, and provide the right kind of training to all employees. The department is looking for information on industry best practices and IT systems to manage cybersecurity across the workforce. Facebook is under serious scrutiny in relation to news that British consulting group Cambridge Analytica improperly harvested the data of tens of millions of its users. The Federal Trade Commission has opened an inquiry, and the attorneys general from 37 states and territories have asked Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg to explain how the company handles users' personal data. New York and Massachusetts also have announced a joint investigation into Cambridge Analytica, which allegedly used the information it obtained to influence the 2016 election. Facebook is also subject to two class action lawsuits in California. The first suit alleges that the company misled shareholders about its own data privacy policies and the possibility of the company coming under heightened regulatory scrutiny. The second is on behalf of the users whose personal data was used by Cambridge Analytica, claiming that the two companies violated their privacy rights and California's unfair competition law. Department of Justice has moved to dismiss Kaspersky Labs' lawsuit challenging the government's ban on its products. DOJ says Congress was not illegally meting out punishment, but made a perfectly legal move to protect national security. Some more bad news for Equifax. Jun Ying, the former CIO of the company's international business unit, has been indicted on criminal charges over his sale of company's stock. Prosecutors allege the sale was based on inside information about the breach of Equifax's systems just days before it was disclosed to the public. The SEC also has filed civil charges in the matter. Mossack Fonseca, the law firm at the center of the international Panama Papers scandal, has announced that it is closing its doors. The firm was one of the top offshore legal services providers until 11.5 million internal legal and financial documents were leaked to the media. The documents revealed alleged money laundering, tax evasion, and other criminal activity. The incident is the largest known data breach involving a law firm. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals reversed a decision from the U.S. District Court for Nevada, finding that the plaintiffs in Zappos.com, Inc. had sufficiently alleged injury in fact to establish standing to sue. The court held that allegations of future risk of identity theft from a data breach are sufficient to confer standing. And finally, South Dakota has enacted a data breach notification law effective July 1st. The law defines personal information as a person's name and any of several identification numbers or health information. It also defines protected information, which includes any combination of data which would give someone access to a person's accounts, but does not have to include their name. The law requires individuals to be notified in the event that their personal or protected information is accessed in unencrypted form. Consumer credit reporting agencies must also be notified. That's the news for this week. For further reading on today's topics, you can find links to our blog posts and original sources on the PubKey Cyber page where you listen to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed the presentation. Join us again in 2 weeks for another recap of cybersecurity legal news in the Cyber Cafe.